We go now to Tripoli, Lebanon, or Tripoli in Libya, where our partner, the New York Times, John Burns, has just finished what can probably fairly be described as a news event in the Libyan capital. John, good morning. John, are you there? John, live in Tripoli, Libya. We will try to get him back. Again, as I mentioned this morning, the difficulty of determining what's actually going on in Libya is compounded by the fact that there's a NATO air campaign taking place, which is a no-fly zone, which essentially takes a look at Libya from the air, attempting to make the life for civilians on the ground in this civil war zone, and some have called it a civil war zone, by only looking through a lens from the air. And quite literally, our reporter from the BBC, Carolyn Wyatt, has filed this exclusive report, which it comes from literally the airplanes that are actually being used to enforce the no-fly zone. Reporter Carolyn Wyatt now, starting at the Royal Air Force Base in Cyprus.
Just after sunset, the RAF ground crew make their final checks. The air crew's mission tonight, flying the skies over Libya.
Rotate.
Their job, to scan and build up a picture of what's happening on the ground. Intelligence passed on to NATO commanders, enforcing the no-fly zone.
Gear up.
This is the first time that a camera crew has been allowed to film on board the Sentinel R1 during an operational mission, this time over Libya. But there are still sensitivities, so we can't show you exactly what's on these screens here. And we can't give you too much detail about what they're looking at on this flight.
The information they gain can then be used for choosing targets, or just as crucially, deciding what not to target.
When we get to Libya, we'll be using the radar, the sensor for these aircraft, looking for movements of vehicles trying to identify pro-Gaddafi forces over Libya in areas of east of the country.
Below, the lights of Benghazi are clearly visible as the radar scans towns up and down the coast. In NATO, only the US and UK have the kit to do this job, and it doesn't come cheap. Tonight, all seems quiet on the ground, but the images sent back could still yield crucial information.
We absolutely must understand the environment that we're operating in, so we can see what's normal, we can see what normal civilian pattern of life looks like, and then things that change from that movement of pro-regime forces, we can determine as being different from the normal, and we can therefore take action on that.
These planes are due to be retired early to save money in 2015, a mere 8 years after they came into service. Yet the Sentinels and their crews are operating night and day over Libya and Afghanistan, providing vital information that can save lives in the air and on the ground.
A whispering BBC Carolyn Wyatt, a reporter there with access to a British spy plane, is seen increasingly in the skies of Libya with a very stood-off view of what's going on. On the ground live, we have managed to regain contact with John Burns in Tripoli, Libya. John, good morning.
Good morning.
You described earlier this morning that the situation of covering the situation in Libya is something akin to being in a hall of mirrors. You got a view at a news event of the effect of one NATO airstrike this morning. Describe where you were taken and what you were shown.
Well, it's actually a work in progress. We're just now leaving the Bab al-Azizia leadership compound where the Gaddafi and his elite operate from, or so we're led to believe, in central Tripoli, where they have over the last hour or so taken us to the site of three bomb craters, claiming, of course, that the victims, and the numbers vary, but it appears to be six dead and 27 wounded, something to that effect, were innocent civilians. We ended up in an area beside a children's carousel, a playground, where, to hear the Libyan officials tell it, all was innocence, but the crowd that had been gathered to protest for the cameras were shielding what appeared to be a bunker system close to where one of the NATO bombs had fallen. So it is a world through the looking glass. It's very difficult to determine with any certainty what is true and what is not. But one thing that is certain is that the hysteria that attends these events, and this one in particular today, is quite frightening to be confronted with.
And, you know, the news value here is almost bizarre. There's nothing new about the air raids. There have been 6,000 of them over Libya since the bombing campaign began. Is there any way on these events to ask the Libyan officials the whereabouts of Colonel Gaddafi, his sense of where this goes from here, or even the status of civilians who've gone missing in this conflict?
Well, we had a very familiar statement, I would say, diatribe, at the site of the third bomb by Musa Ibrahim, the spokesman for the government, resolving that Libya would fight on, that NATO is in a state of hallucination, is in cahoots with armed gangs, that the Libyan people are 100% behind Muammar Gaddafi. A familiar tale. We hear it every day. Perhaps more significant is that Gaddafi himself did reappear yesterday, last evening, very briefly in very odd circumstances, actually in the hotel in which foreign journalists are sequestered, though he appeared to have entered through a tunnel system because he certainly didn't enter through any of the public parts of the hotel. This was shown on Libyan television. He was meeting with tribal leaders. He did not look, I have to say, quite himself. He's 68 years old. He appeared wearing dark sunglasses, a hat. He appeared to be, dare I say, ill at ease or somewhat frail. The tribal leaders who came forward to greet him embraced him as if he was made of porcelain. Now, that may be normal, I don't know, but he had been missing for 11 days. The city had been rife with rumors that there was something amiss, possibly his health, possibly a result of the bombing that killed one of his sons and three children in the same compound from which I'm now exiting. I don't know. It's very difficult to sort truth from fiction here.
Well, John Burns giving us a fascinating, tragic, and really a horrifying sense of the nuanced skill that's required to report out of Libya at this moment. John Burns, of course, the New York Times correspondent in London, chief foreign correspondent for the New York Times. John Burns live in Tripoli, Libya. We're going to leave you now with the voice of Diane Foley, the mother of journalist James Foley. He's a freelance journalist who's gone missing. No word at this point of his fate. Diane Foley, we asked her earlier this morning, your sense of frustration, who are you turning to at this point?
We turn to God, certainly. Our faith has held us up a lot in this present nightmare of our own. But certainly our friends and family, and Jim has a very wide, rich group of friends who've been incredibly helpful and supportive also.
Do you believe he's in the hands of Gaddafi forces or possibly some random militia group?
Well, we believe that he is in, Colonel Gaddafi is certainly in charge of his captivity at this point. He seems to have been captured by his militia. And we believe he's near Tripoli at this point.
Who is the most credible source of information out of Libya right now? And I suspect the U.S. government might not be at the top of that list.
That is a very good question, truly. Our best source up until about a week ago was the Turkish embassy. They were wonderful working on behalf of our government, and they're still trying to. However, they're at a disadvantage because they had to evacuate to Tunisia.
And we've had reports of both fatalities of journalists inside Libya and miraculous releases of journalists. All you can do is hope, Diane Foley.
Exactly. It's been a roller coaster, truly. One day we're hopeful, and then the next day, you know, our hopes are dashed. So it's, but we're staying strong. Our son, when we had a moment to speak with him, he asked us to be strong and patient. I mean, he felt very hopeful about his release.
The voice there of Diane Foley, mom of James Foley. She's trying to determine the fate of that missing journalist, James Foley, one of the 500 civilians missing inside that chaotic situation inside Libya. We wish the best of luck to Diane Foley, and consider those three views, one from a mom, one from a spy plane high overhead in Libya, and one from what John Burns himself described as the looking glass of trying to figure out what's happening inside Libya. Lots of coverage on Libya, also the floods in the Mississippi. I'm John Hockenberry. Celeste Headlee is out. Feel better, folks. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.